Well, we're certainly glad you're here on this Tuesday, this Testimony Tuesday, April 10th, 2012. It's a great day. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day because it's Tuesday, and that means it's meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign. So anytime between, say, 4:30 to 6:30, if you come out to the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign, not only will you have fun and food and fellowship, but you're going to get to meet some special guests. And on this Testimony Tuesday, wait till you get to be introduced to Emily Allison. She's a spoken word poet. Have you ever heard that term before? Have you ever met somebody that is involved in the spoken word poet movement, if you will? Well, you're going to learn all about her in just a minute as I introduce her to you. And I want to point out again, 4:30 to 6:30 anytime. If you come out, nobody eats alone. The Olive Garden restaurant is discounting all dinners. Basically, they're taking $2.50 off of every meal. So it's about 10 to 20% off on your dinner total if you come out. And like I said, you'll sit with other Great News Radio listening friends, and I'll be hosting the whole evening and having a lot of fun. Jeff Goldberg, if you were tuned in yesterday, you heard him talk about his new book, Blind Authority. He'll have a number of copies available. He'll sign them and sell them to you. So come on out and meet up with Jeff Goldberg and also watercolor artist Kathleen Jennings. She was there last week, and back by popular demand, she sold a lot of her creative artwork, her watercolors inspired by her, I think, 14 trips to Israel. So she'll be joining me along with staff members Karen Harrison and Jason Schiffo. Jason, you're familiar with from the last, I guess, 4 or 5 months. He's been on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. So you're going to get to meet and greet him and Tasha, his wife. They were both featured last week, and other family members. He'll have little Jacob and Molly and Abigail there. And then Karen Harrison, as I mentioned, she's been our office manager extraordinaire for about the last 15 years, and she does all the behind-the-scenes work to make this ministry run effectively. So come out and encourage her, meet her, greet her, give her a hug. And so that's all going to happen between 4:30 and 6:30 tonight. And realizing that this morning's program re-airs in the evening, I guess you will have missed out. But the following two Tuesdays, April 17th and April 24th, we'll have other staff members and authors and artists. A sneak preview, we'll have Kevin Brooks. He's a co-author on a book called Glider Infantry. And there'll be a World War II vet there. Don Rich, he'll be driving in from Ohio. He'll talk about navigating through World War II, being there at the Battle of the Bulge and D-Day and all that God did in and through him. Bill McLean will set up a World War II display. We'll have author Heejin Burton, who will share some of her story. And then Dr. Davis and the Black Chorus, some of the Black Chorus members, will be all there on Tuesday, April 17th, and then Tuesday, April 24th. We'll have Stephen McClary, Joey Kroll as Great News Radio staff, singer Dr. Phoebe Lanier, and I'm working on another special guest, probably Scott Waddles, who does one of the best Elvis impersonations that I've ever seen, and we'll see if we can get him to dress up as Elvis or just bring some of his other songs and sing to us all. So that's the next two Tuesdays, but tonight we're going to have Emily Allison as a part of our special guest, and she's a spoken word poet, and you might say, what is that? So good morning, Emily. Thanks for being on Mark and Friends.
Good morning.
Well, we're just about out of time. All those introductions, you know, we're running out of time. So I'm going to actually have to ask you to help introduce yourself to me, because I've only learned because your dad was bragging you up. He's so proud of you. And he sent me a link and he said, Mark, I think you'll be encouraged and inspired by this extraordinary daughter of mine talking about extraordinary. And so I'm going to share that in just a moment. But you're a student at the Moody Bible Institute. And you're getting near your graduation time, right, this year?
Yeah, just about 5 weeks.
5 weeks away. So you've been attending Moody. I know your dad because he's been in our area a few times, Bill Allison, and he's preached at a couple different churches and has a powerful transformational story. And I know you have a number of brothers and sisters, and you're going to be coming down with your family tonight and being at the Olive Garden restaurant. You're going to share a few of your poems with everyone. So let me first play a poem that I saw on YouTube, and I was inspired and moved, and it's kind of powerful. And so I want you to tell us a little about what it means to create poetry and speak it and share it verbally, and then have us walk through some of your biblical narrative. So here is Emily Allison sharing about extraordinary.
I don't care what anyone says. The stars are just different out west. Not just different, but better. Yes, better. I'm okay with saying that, even though society today demands that every star be a winner. Because doesn't that just take away from the things that are truly extraordinary? There is nothing like driving down empty interstate at 4 a.m. with nothing in every direction but windmills in the horizon, with the lights overhead screaming, "This is just a little glimpse of what your foremothers knew before electricity drowned out our glory." And what must it have been for the first people to finally see what it is that rises in the distance, till they were face to face with the mountains, but they didn't have a word for it yet? Having not seen the scene depicted 1,000 times on calendars and television sets, they must have just wept. Like my grandmother, the first time she saw the ocean, which was 2 years ago. And you don't know what beauty is until you see a 65-year-old woman weeping over something that was there the whole time, but she never knew. I don't know if she was just sad about the hours she could have spent worshiping in those waters, or just amazed that something can stretch that far and never end, but I didn't ask. Because she was communing with the thing that holds everything else together, and that is not something that you interrupt. But how have we lost that reverence? Have we really bought so far into beauty is in the eye of the beholder that we no longer lose our composure at the moments it's most called for? I'm not even one to criticize this, because while I'm sitting there trying to figure out the linguistic breaking point of the word beautiful, my grandmother is crying. You see, dignity is not all it's cracked up to be when it's preserved at the expense of losing ourselves in the only thing that was ever really able to swallow us, and the only thing that's ever been deserving of our love. So, in spite of the fact that society demands that everything be beautiful and everyone wins, I still maintain that each and every one of us should be like my grandmother, unable to contain the response to the call of that which is truly extraordinary.
Well, bravo. How does it feel to kind of hear yourself speaking poetry over the air?
You know, it wasn't so much listening to myself, but as I was listening to that, I was just thinking of standing there on the ocean, like, watching my grandmother, and, like, even now, like, I got a little weepy because I was thinking about her and just how beautiful that was, that, you know, those things that we see all the time, we don't know how beautiful they are because we're used to it.
Well, I love your powerful presentation, and I've heard this probably 3 or 4 times. Still, emotions well up in me as you deliver this message, this thought, this poem, this kind of creative way. And I had never heard of spoken word poetry. Tell us a little about that, and then take us through kind of that journey that brought you to the Moody Bible Institute and for you to be involved in spoken word poetry.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of a complicated story, but I mean, I've been writing poetry, regular poetry, the type that you would just read with your eyes, since I was little, like 13. So all these years just grew up writing poetry and loving it, and I used to be very prolific at it. I would write like a poem every day and stuff, you know, and then didn't grow up, get busy. But I was still like writing a lot of poems, and so when I made it to Moody Bible Institute, I connected with about 4 other poets who were very talented, just like a super huge privilege to be able to spend time with them. And so we formed a poetry club. And so a poetry club would meet every Tuesday night, and the rule was you had to bring a poem to share. And that was the only rule, was that you had every week to bring something to show everybody else. And so we went through this every week. And so this is how I was first sort of exposed to the type of performance poetry that I had never really done before. And so starting first to hear that, and then I thought, I think I could do that. And so I started writing it, and it kind of naturally cropped out of what I was already doing. And then it turned out that I really liked it and I really enjoyed it. And so then I just kept doing it.
Now, is this something that you feel like maybe the Lord's gifted you toward or with, or just something that maybe is some natural abilities and you're saying, okay, Lord, it seems like this is an area you could lead me in or use me? How did that kind of come together?
Yeah, you know, I don't make a lot of plans. The Lord just sort of, I think, has given me different things, and it seems like it doesn't work out when I come up with it. But just being able to learn to recognize like what the Lord is doing, because when He comes up with it, it tends to work out a lot better. And so I really feel like this is not something that I just thought, well, like, I'm gonna be a spoken word poet, God, and just sign off here, you know? Like that was something that I feel like the Lord just sort of gave me, and I was like, well, this looks good. I'll try that.
Kind of like keep opening the doors and I'll walk through them and
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what is part of that spiritual pilgrimage? I know your father, Bill Allison, and he preaches and teaches and carries on little workshops around the country, and he's been locally, he's filled in and preached for a couple different pastors. Was he instrumental, he and your mom, in kind of cultivating that relationship to point you towards Jesus, or were there other people? Like, what was that point where you said, Jesus, I'm going to start following you?
Yeah, you know, well, as you know, I mean, I did grow up in a Christian family. Both my parents are Christians, and that can have advantages and disadvantages.
Mm-hmm.
I think growing up in a Christian family, you can get desensitized to the deep truths of the faith, and so it doesn't almost like the ocean, you know, you get desensitized to it because it's not there, and then you forget how important it is. And I think that can kind of happen growing up in a Christian home, and so each person that sort of grows up in that has to come to a place where they're finding out, okay, this is not just something that has been passed down to me, but something that I've absorbed, you know, into myself on purpose, something that I've chosen as a way to live my life, and not just what has been handed down to me. And so for me, that was a very long journey. It was not an easy one, and it's not either something where I can look back and go, well, on this day and at this time in this place, like, I prayed and asked the Lord to, like, be real to me. No, like, I think, you know, C.S. Lewis tells the story of his conversion, which was that he was a reluctant convert, and it happened when he took a motorcycle ride. And before the motorcycle ride, he was not saved. And he said somehow by the end of the motorcycle ride, he had gotten saved.
Yeah.
But he didn't know how quite or exactly what point it was, but somehow in there he became saved. And I think that's a little bit what it was like for me, just the Lord over a period of time slowly drawing me to himself and looking back and not being able to understand like quite where something changed, but knowing that something was qualitatively different, knowing that this was what I wanted to do, was follow the Lord. Not what my parents wanted me to do, but what I wanted me to do.
And like you're saying, and this is true for all of us, it's a process, and that process of sanctification. I mean, whenever we think we're there, we're really not there, because there's more refining, there's more changing, yet there's three steps forward, two steps back, there's,
absolutely,
you know, conviction, there's change, there's repentance, there's Lord, you know, I'm like Isaiah, I'm a worm next to your holiness, and then that revealed truth that as we read scripture, it speaks to us differently this year from next year, from 5 years from now, and can minister to us daily. So we're kind of always changing. I like to think of it many times when I lay in bed and, you know, maybe I'm connecting with the Lord. It's like, Lord, I'm forever changed from just 5 minutes ago because of your presence in my life, for me surrendering new things to you, for me entertaining the idea that you will allow me the privilege that you'll work in and through me this day or whatever. And so,
yeah,
so you're what, you're 18, 19?
21.
Oh, sorry. Oh, 21. That's right. You're going to be graduating from the Moody Bible Institute. So what are some of your leanings, or do you have a direction on where the Lord may take you, or what he's laid out?
You know, like I said, when I make it up, it doesn't seem to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sort of in a period of waiting right now and in a period of rest. When I moved to Chicago to go to Moody, I just fell in love with the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I'm going to stay there for a little while and just work and rest and then process everything that I've learned and sort of just wait on the Lord to give me my next thing. I don't want to just make something up for the sake of doing something or cave to the pressure of feeling like I have to have all of these really elaborate and solid post-graduation plans when I really feel convicted that now is the time to sort of wait on the Lord to see what he wants me to do.
Yeah, and you have your whole life ahead of you. Many of our listeners, you know, are senior saints in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and it's like 21, you know, most of us can't even remember back what we were like at 21. So, and as your heart is sensitive and receptive to God's leading, he's just going to lay out great plans to prosper and purposeful plans that will allow you to be effective for his kingdom purposes. So it's going to be nice to meet you in person. This is the first time we've officially talked. We've been sending emails back and forth. And like I said, when I saw your extraordinary YouTube presentation, your spoken word poet little 2-minute spot, I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Now, tonight at the Olive Garden, will you share a poem or two with our listeners?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Now, do you have one in your mind or heart, or do you have them all memorized, or do you have a script out in front of you? How would it work?
You know, it just depends how long it's been since I've written it. The older ones I have memorized, the newer ones I'm not quite there yet. So it depends on what I decide to do. But yeah, I mean, I could do Extraordinary if everybody would like to hear that. But there's a few others I could do as well. So we'll just maybe see how we feel.
See how well that Olive Garden dinner goes down. And
yeah, you know.
Hey, I know Jason Schiffo has been singing you praises. He said, oh, Mark, you're really delight in Emily. She's a sweetie. And I know your dad, Bill, has been instrumental and involved in Jason's life. And yeah. So it's been kind of neat. And you're going to get to see Jason tonight. He will be there also. Hey, is there a favorite that you're working on now that maybe you could share with our radio listening family?
Okay. Yeah, well, then I've got one, which is called Jonah. This is actually the first spoken word piece that I ever wrote, and it's one of my favorites, really. I wrote it when I was reading Jonah a lot of times for my hermeneutics class at Moody, and just realizing how much I identify with him and just how much I can learn from him as well. So yeah, it's called Jonah. I run a lot. When I'm not pretending to stand still, I'm running. But somehow, you, God, have seen it fit to let me hasten in my race to see how far I can get before you care. Sure, it's a cheap way to test your love, but I just don't believe it when you say you want to use me. It's easier to flee the scene than it is to let your love spread all over me and leave me broken and finally free. It just hurts too much. So, I run. Because you are unattainable and the unknown is so painful and your presence is a force I can't escape, but I try. And though I feel you look away from me, you are not blind. And though I feel you cannot hear me, you are not deaf. So tell me why. Before I was ever thought of or desired, you saw every moment of every day of my life. And as my sins passed before your eyes, you sighed and said, yes, I will use this. God, that's cruel. At least that's the way it seems to me from where I'm running. And it seems to be that you're content to just let me get swallowed by the sea. God, deliver me. God, intervene, because I clearly can't stop running. And even my prayers are self-absorbed attempts to save myself with my most holy words. But despite my most elegant expressions of extolment, you will go on doing just what you plan to do. And I cannot change that. I cannot change you. I'm angry at you for your very nature, gracious and merciful and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And in the most forgiving tones, you cry out to me, do you do well to be angry? And all I can do is clench my fists and shout back, yes, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. But I guess I'm still here, right? Just a speck, and I'll take it by your silence and your neglect to acquiesce to my request that you still have something planned that requires the perpetuation of my breath. I run a lot. I need some rest.
Wow, powerful. And I'm thinking as you were speaking and sharing, I wonder if King David or Solomon, who had all those Proverbs memorized, or King David that wrote so many of the Psalms, if at times he got up and declared them in front of people or shared them openly, because back in biblical times, the tradition was oral. And so you're really...
We didn't have YouTube in the Bible.
Yeah, and so many things were not written down, so it was an oral tradition. So in a sense, this concept is nothing new under the sun. The spoken word poet might be very, you know, I wonder, have you done a study on if the Old Testament, if much of it was like an oral tradition? I mean, we know it was an oral tradition, but if maybe some of the poetry or some of the Psalms were spoken in this manner?
You know, maybe not quite as urban, as
yeah.
But I'm sure. You know, it's in the nature of the prophets and the writers of the Bible to declare truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that certainly must mean, you know, standing up in front of people and being fearless about what God's word says.
Mm-hmm. Well, Emily, we're going to look forward to seeing you in person tonight at the Olive Garden restaurant. And in our closing minute and a half here, as you're kind of getting down to your last 5 or 6 weeks at the Moody Bible Institute and really seeking the Lord on where He would lead you, direction for the future, a career or position or a time of rest or reflection or just pause in your life, how can our listeners pray for you? Because you're a capable, young, godly woman that's seeking to serve the kingdom. How can they pray maybe specifically for you in the days ahead?
Oh, man. I think that there is a tendency for post-college graduates to sort of flounder.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to flounder. I do not want to squander my time or waste it. And there's a fine line between resting and wasting your time. I want to rest. I don't want to waste my time. So just prayer to be able to discern the difference, and also just to bravely step into whatever it is that the Lord has for me once I figure that out. You know, that there's room for saying, okay, Lord, like, what do you want, what do you want, what do you want? And then after He answers, then the question is not what do you want, but are you going to be obedient or disobedient?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes a lot of bravery to be obedient. And so just prayer for bravery to step into whatever it is that God has for me.
All right. Well, we have some great prayer warriors, so you can count on a covering from many of the Great News Radio listeners. And if you want to meet Emily Allison tonight at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign, stop by anytime between 4:30 and 6:30 and be there prior to 6:30, because I know you're going to zip over to the Champaign train station and then cart back up to Chicago on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep, I've got class Wednesday morning, so.
So we invite you to come out tonight and meet Emily in person, along with Kathleen Jennings, Jeff Goldberg, and Karen Harrison and Jason Schiffel. And in case you missed yesterday's broadcast, Jeffrey Goldberg, who will also be at our Tuesday meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign with his book Blind Authority, that program is archived, as is also today's program, at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. So tune in or tell a friend to go to greatnewsradio.org, and you can listen to yesterday's broadcast, today's interview with Emily Allison, along with all of our other interviews are archived at greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Ooh, son.